So I get the awesome opportunity to share some things with you guys tonight. And most of you guys would know that I'm on the pastoral team here as the youth pastor, and I'm a worship leader here as well. And I absolutely love this church so much. I love what this church stands for. I love that so many people in this room and in the morning service as well, and people who aren't here, are just in love with Jesus. It's people here who just want to make an impact, want to be able to just build the kingdom of God. And I hope you guys aren't surprised when I say as well, like, this building here, it's not that rare that it's used 5 nights a week to do things that are different ministries, different area of ministries that actually help build the kingdom, such as small groups, such as Deep End, the young adult group here, which is absolutely awesome. We got the youth ministry. We have men's movie nights. We have the Embrace Women's ministry. We've got so many things going on in this church. This is always happening. So we're actually going to spend some time over the next couple of months. There's going to be a time, which you'll see every now and then, where we're going to get somebody from a few of the different ministries to actually share a little bit about, you know, what's going on, because it's always great to be informed and know what's actually happening. So I get the cool opportunity now to start off my message sharing a little bit about a ministry that I'm very passionate about, and that is Wildfire Youth. So put up your hand if you're a part of Wildfire Youth, whether you're a leader or a kid. So it's a fair few people in this room. So you might see some photos of yourself up on the screen during this time. But I'm just going to be able to share. I'm going to share about this for a little while now, because I absolutely love the youth ministry that we have going here. You know, here's a picture of the sort of thing that we do here on Friday nights. So if you don't know already, we run Friday night programs from 7 till 9:30 every Friday night. We have epic games, and that's an example of what we got there. We have some music. We have a positive message. We have some small groups, which I'll talk a little bit about as we go on. You know, it's so cool, though, that, you know, there's about 40, 50 young people that actually rock up, some of them from Christian families, but some of them not. Some of them from broken homes, some of them who, you know, weren't a Christian or didn't know anything about God until they came in through these doors. And some of them still have a lot of questions, but, you know, we believe in giving young people the opportunity to take the next step towards God, and that's really cool. So before I jump into it much further, I want to really talk about why we actually changed the name to Wildfire Youth the start of last year, what we sort of want to stand for in our youth ministry. So looking here at Acts 13, verse 49, and the message of salvation spread like wildfire all through the region. You know, we believe that the message of Jesus, of love and hope, is worthy to be spread. And it is something that, you know, if you're in love with Jesus, you can't help but to spread. And that's what we're about, spreading the message of Jesus like wildfire. So as well as that, here is our mission that we want to stand for. And these points actually represent different points in a faith journey that any person actually has, whether you're a young person or not. And that's ignite your faith, grow your faith, or spread your faith. You can also say ignite, grow, or spread the flame as well. So it's just a really great reminder, you know, that we can actually, grow in the love of Jesus and spread his love as well, just like wildfire. So here's a picture of an expedition to Wet and Wild earlier in the year. I'm just going to go through some photos to show you guys sort of things that we get up to. So we have a really cool, band. As well as that, just want to say we have some really great leaders on team. There couldn't really be much good that could come of the ministry if it wasn't for so many awesome leaders that actually put in effort week in, week out. We have about 13 or 14 of us at the moment that just put their, you know, Friday nights and more on the line to actually bring about this mission of bringing young people closer to Jesus. I love that top left one. We had a Nerf war. Thanks, Wayne, for supplying all the Nerf guns. I don't know how you've got so many, but it's so good. We have such a great time. We've been having some baptisms this last year as well. And not only that, we've been having some, actually a fair few moments where young people have said, you know what, I want to commit to Jesus. And they've accepted Jesus into their hearts and into their lives. And I don't know about you, but that just really encourages me. We had a bit of a formal night. And yes, apparently just rocking up with a t-shirt and shorts with a tie includes as formal, so that's pretty cool. We had a glow paint war night, and that was really fun. That was where that top one on the right was from. We have, really great positive messages. And normally each Friday night as well, we have a 15 to 20 minute message. And we also have some small groups here. And so we know that, you know, a lot of good stuff can be said from the pulpit. But until you actually have that conversation with kids, or you have conversations with young people, and they're able to share what's in their own heart and learn from each other, that's when we can really get some deep stuff going. We can get some discussions going that will actually make a really great impact and positive difference. So not only do we run small groups on Friday nights, but also at mine and Vic's place on Sunday afternoons called Oxygen. So some of you guys just came from Oxygen now, and yeah, it's a good time. We've been going through the Youth Alpha course, and that's been really great as well. Just being able to have a safe environment to ask some really deep and sometimes even really heavy questions as well, but being able to discuss it, even if it's saying that, hey, maybe I don't actually know the answer to that question. Sometimes we might not even know these questions until we see God face to face, but you know, these are things that are really great to think about, and we can start, try and seek that truth in the Bible together. Here is a cool group shot of some of our older youth, most of them year 9 to 12, who came to KIC, which is Katoomba Youth Conference, earlier this year in May. And some of you guys really helped by actually supporting us. We ran a bit of a car wash, and some of you guys donated for that, and helping to provide for some of the tickets of some of the young people. So big thanks for that. We had a really great, incredible time. We love taking these young people away on camps and on conferences like this, because, you know, jam-packed in a few days, you can have like all that time that we spend on Friday nights all together, put all that time together, and that doesn't even amount to the time that we can just spend on a camp, just growing, just investing, just, you know, it's just life that we get to do together. So it's really cool. Last Friday night, we had bonfire night. We had a lot of people there, and it was a good time because, you know, not only were we able to just experience, you know, God's creation and just have an enjoyable time around a fire, but we started a worship sesh, which just turned into young people saying, one more song, and then again, one more song, more songs. It was like, okay, this is turning into a big worship sesh, and it was just really cool because acoustic worship around the fire. If you haven't done it, it's good. Yep, puppy joined. Is that what you said? Yep, there was a puppy and he joined. It was pretty cool. So just wanting to tell you guys a little bit about what's going on, because I get asked fairly often, you know, what do you guys even do in your ministry? What is the whole purpose? How can I be a part of it? And so yeah, here's another group shot. I just want to share a little bit about why I'm passionate about youth ministry before I continue. And really, it sparked back to my testimony, my story. You know, some of you guys might know, and some of you guys might have heard some of this before, but, you know, when I was pretty young, my mum passed away from cancer. And I was very abused growing up, physically, but also just mentally and emotionally. I was told every day, you know, I hate you, you're not good enough. Go to hell, I wish you would just crash a car and die, that sort of thing. And when I got to the second half of my teenage years, you know, I was deep down in depression, you know, and I don't look at those days and smile too much, because I felt pretty lonely. I felt like I had no purpose, because after being told lies for a long time, I actually believed those. I believed that I wouldn't amount to anything. I felt like I wasn't worthy, even worthy of God's love. And I grew up in, you know, I sort of heard about God, but I never actually truly believed in him or actually said, no, but I have Jesus in my life, until I was actually invited to a youth ministry similar to what we have here. And, you know, that's where I really felt the message of Jesus in my heart just go through me for the first time. I was like, wow, what is this thing? Like, you know, if this whole Jesus thing is real, then that changes everything. And sort of, so that's where my journey began. And I remember it was that night after youth, I just went down on my knees in my bedroom, you know, doors closed, and I remember crying and saying, hey God, if you're there, then show me. God, if you're there, let me know if you're there. And the truth is that he rocked up. He turned up in my thoughts against all odds. He gave me such an overwhelming sense of peace. He gave me such an overwhelming sense of hope that I'd never actually experienced before. And I'm still a broken person. I definitely don't have it all together, but I know that Jesus has changed my life from the inside out. And in some ways, you know, like my past, I'm not happy that I've been through different depression things, and you know, I've made decisions which I wish I didn't make as well throughout my past. But at the same time, I love that, you know, I can see young people around at the moment, and so many of them come from, you know, messed up situations or come from doubt and fear and so many distractions. And I can say, hey, you know what? You may be depressed, or you might feel downtrodden, you might feel broken. I don't know exactly what you've been through, but I do know that there's a God who loves you and he cares about you. I do know there is a God who can help you. He can walk you through that. And that's what we're about in the youth and also in this church as well. You know, we want to make sure, and we want to encourage you with a thought that you are not alone. There is a God there that loves you. And he cares for you exponentially. It's actually crazy. And just start digging in his word and just realizing just how much he loves you. I'm going to let you guys know some ways that you can support. Some of these you might expect, but the first one, the biggest one, is to pray. You know, we believe that prayer is the strongest and biggest weapon that we have against the enemy. We believe that prayer can, you know, bring about so much freedom, bring about so much power, because God is in prayer. He's listening. And when you pray for things, you know, you never know what might happen. God will most likely rock up, you know, be there in the middle. It might not be exactly when you expect or when you want, but really encourage some prayer for this church and also these young people in this year. Number two is donate. And I say donate specifically at this point in time to a great camp, state youth camp that we have coming up. It's in September. Some of you guys, yeah, cheering at the back, hands up. Yeah, it'll be a really cool time. So it's in Sydney, and we've got fair few hundred kids. They're a great combined Baptist youth camp that we're actually taking our youth on this year. And the tickets are a little bit expensive for some of the young people that come along. So if you do have a heart and passion to see this youth ministry grow, and you want some of these kids to really experience some really great time in a camp, then drop some money in the baskets, and that would be absolutely awesome if you wanted to do that. Obviously, no pressure. Number three is volunteer. And there's already so many people that volunteer in different areas and different ministries, and I don't want you guys to burn yourselves out or put more on your plate than your already busy schedule. But you know, we couldn't do what we do, and like so many different parts of this church, whether it be the band, whether it be the kids' church, whether it be the tech team, whether it be even the welcoming and the ushers and the morning prep with the supper. There's so many different areas of this church that, you know, without the volunteers actually putting the time and effort into it, just wouldn't be there. And I just really appreciate from the bottom of my heart all the people that do serve in this church and do actually want to put, you know, you want to give something back so that you can see this church reach people and actually share that message of hope. There's some of the leaders that we have on team that, you know, might only rock up once or twice a term or once a month. It doesn't have to be every week. And there's all different roles. So if you do want to volunteer in any way, then come chat to us, and would love to talk to you about that. Number four is invite. If you know a young person and they're not doing much on a Friday night, say, oi, come over here. There's a great place for you to hang out and meet people your age, and also get to hear the best news that they will ever hear in their whole entire lives. So Jasmine's made up a really cool brochure, and it looks pretty fine. It'll be here next week. So we're able to get these out. So these are going to be in the church foyer that you can take and invite. We designed them so that people know what's going on in the ministry here, but also so that we can give them to the young people. So you can say, hey, you know, to all your friends, hey, this is what I'm doing on Friday night. You've got this physical thing they can hold, you know, come along. This is all the cool stuff that we do. Get amongst it, get involved. So now I'm going to roll on to the message that I want to talk about tonight, following on our series, Jesus Said What. So if you've been around the last few weeks, you'd know that we've been looking at those red letters in our Bibles. We've been looking at mainly the book of Matthew and just some words that Jesus spoke. Because we believe that, you know, Jesus came to earth as the Son of God and his words are powerful. You know, God came to earth, you know, I don't know about you, but like God came to earth and I want to hear what he had to say. And not only want to hear what he had to say, but I want to know what the meaning was. I want to know how that is applicable to my life. Because I believe that Jesus' words weren't meant to be a waste. So we're going to jump into some cool stuff tonight. But what's a good message without a meme? So here is my first slide. Storing treasures on earth. Nah, nick that off. Storing treasures in heaven. That's it. So that's a big spoiler alert for what this is about. Treasures in heaven is what this message is about. Matthew 6. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your, let's be real, mobile devices for most of you guys. See some Bibles, that's great. Looking at Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jumping in right deep. Great truth bombs there. Jesus is basically saying, hey, do you know what? You are not going to live forever. And there's a lot of things in this life that we can actually spend our time on, spend our focus on, spend our energy, spend our resources on that will never actually last eternity. They'll never actually last. You know, you get to the end of your life and they'll just wither away. They'll be worth absolutely nothing. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. I want to ask you guys, hands up please, if you can think of any treasures in heaven or what are some things that you can do here on earth that are actually worthwhile for eternity. Yep, hand up. You had a hand up? You're just stretching, that's awesome. Any other hands up? Yeah. Loving others. Big thumbs up. Looking for a few more hands. Steve. Telling people about Jesus on the money. Loving it. Yep. Definitely. Those two sum up a lot of good things, don't they? Loving others and telling people about Jesus. Called to do those things. Anything else that people can think of? Bad stuff. Yeah, definitely. Showing kindness even when it's hard to do so, even though you might not be receiving it. It's huge. And I think that also ties into punches a bit, you know, with loving others. We're called to love others even if we're not loved by that person back. You know, it's easy to love a family member if they've been loving you back, but, you know, it's a whole nother ballgame when you've got to love people who not only not agree with you, but they despise you or they're against you or you're having trouble with that relationship, yeah. Anybody else? What's something that you can do that's worthwhile for eternity? Jazz? Awesome. Being generous with your resources, yeah. Yeah, thanks for those few people who contributed. And I know a lot of you guys as well, just, yeah, ticking over your mind and doing it. Yeah, hand up or stretch. Sorry? Love yourself. Yeah, that's cool. You know, God definitely says that, you know, he loves us so incredibly much. And he doesn't want us to dislike ourselves. He wants us to know that we are his children. He wants us to know that we are loved. Yep. Respect others, yeah. Respect. This is really great. Good work. So we're going to talk about these few things and how we're actually going to, you know, store these treasures up in heaven. And we're going to continue through Matthew 6:19. But just want to spend a little bit of time now on the last verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, Jesus isn't silly. Sounds here to me like he's saying that, you know, wherever you invest your time, wherever you invest your resources, wherever you invest your energy, that is what is going to consume your heart. That is what is going to be taking up what's inside your heart. And yeah, this is getting pretty deep, but I think here Jesus is saying that, you know, treasures in heaven, that includes like your heart condition. You know, one day when we're standing before God face to face, he's not going to look at how much money you got. He's not going to look at so many things that you put your energy in on earth, but he's going to look at your heart. How did you love others while you were here? How did you share your faith? And this sort of builds upon a message that Lindsay shared, if you remember Parable of the Talents a few weeks ago. You know, just making sure that we actually use our time wisely. You know, in this day and age, it's so easy to, you know, consume our time, you know, watching TV, or consume our time on social media, or consume our time doing something that, you know, really just in the end does not have an eternal impact at all. God sees your character. It's wise to invest your time into spending time with God as well, building your character. You know, the more time that you spend with God, the more time that time is actually being put towards an eternal impact, eternal difference. We're going to continue on through Matthew 6. Any second, it'll be sweet. We might get that next slide on, please. Yeah, awesome. Verse 22 continues this. You know, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I love the saying, monkey see, monkey do. It's so true. Like, you know, whatever you're actually focusing on, again, with your time, whatever you look at, if you look at violence all the time, watching TV shows, then how's that affecting you, your life? If you're looking at sexual content, which unfortunately is all around this day and age, this culture, how's that affecting you? How's that affecting your eternity? And, you know, even in this day and age, pornography is just a huge thing that, you know, the devil can actually entrap you and you know, he's the father of lies. And you can say, we're just talking in Oxygen this afternoon, you were saying, like, sometimes it's tempting to be like, oh yeah, just that one time, that's all right, or, you know, just that little bit, it doesn't really matter. But you give the devil an inch and he gets a whole mile, you know, that sort of story. Just be really wise with what your eyes see, because whatever you actually spend time looking at, that will then be shown out of your heart and your character and who you are. Because whatever is filtered in, you know, that is what's going to come out. I love a quote by Andy Stanley. He's one of my favorite authors. I also listen to a lot of his podcasts, leadership podcasts, and he says, direction, not intention, determines your destination. I'm going to say that again. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. So basically, wherever you are facing, that is where your life is going to go. Sounds pretty simple, right? So like, if I'm standing here and my feet are facing this way, I'm not going to walk that way unless I like do something crazy like sidestep. But normally, most of the time, I'm going to be walking in this direction if my feet are facing this way. Same if I face any direction. So the point that I'm trying to make is that you can't think that, so I dream to be over here, my goal is to be over here, but I'm doing things that will lead me this way. You're never going to get to your dream. You're never going to get to not only your dream, but you're never going to get to what God's desire and God's plan for your life is. Great way that I like to think about it is, and that the Bible actually supports, is don't do things just because, you know, it's not a sin. Do things because it gives God glory. You know, Jesus came and he obliterated the whole idea of, you know, don't murder. Yeah, it's easy to not murder. Like, not many people here are murderers, I hope. But, you know, if you have hate for someone, then that's murdering God's eye. Like, Jesus just took it to that whole nother level. And I encourage you tonight to just be real with, you know, the time that you spend invested in things. Because a lot of the things that we see and we spend time with, or even people that we spend time with, you know, it's really important to be able to surround yourself with people that actually build you up, that actually encourage you. And yeah, Jesus spent time with, you know, prostitutes and tax collectors and stuff like that. And I'm not saying don't, you know, minister to people who, I mean, I really hope that you guys have friends and family members maybe who aren't Christian that, yeah, you know, you want to spend time with. You don't want every single person to be Christian because then you can't have as much of an influence. Or I think it's a healthy thing to have a bit of a mix. But at the same time, just really watch what impact those people have on you that you are surrounded with. Because the people that you surround yourself with, you know, you put all of their characteristics, their dreams, their ambitions, their goals, you put them all together, you say your three or four closest people, and that's basically pretty aligned with what yours is. You know, because you want to surround yourself with like-minded people. So, got a few things in this, but, you know, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body be full of light. Just make sure that you actually are keeping your eyes pure, you're keeping your heart pure, you're actually making sure that you can spend your time looking at things that will bring life, not death, in the long run. Next slide, please. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, my question for you is, for those guys who are working, are you making money to live, or are you living to make money? You know, there's a big difference. Are you making money to live, or are you living to make money? I believe this verse isn't only talking about, you know, money, but just anything that we can actually sometimes put before God. You know, it's so easy sometimes to just spend your time and resources on something which it almost turns into like a form of worship, because you're spending so much time with that thing or even that person that you're actually in your mind and your heart, you're putting before God. And God here, Jesus here in this verse is actually saying, you know, I am God. I need to be at the center of your heart. I need to be the center of what you're about. I need to be the core of what you're about. And so some of you guys as well, you know, it's all right in small doses, but, you know, you like to binge watch TV shows a lot, or you do really care about just having that really cool amount of money and that cool car, cool mansion, or maybe you just, you know, gone down the trap of caring about your reputation too much. Have a bit of an ego, or, and that could be a pride issue as well. Just putting out all different scenarios, because everybody's at a different point in their life, different time. You know, some people here just crave and just live for those social media likes, you know? And I hate to say it, but I've been there. I've been there where some of these things, I'm like, yeah, that makes me feel good, so that's great. But, you know, not every single thing that makes you feel good is actually good for you. Are you putting anything in your life now before God? I want you guys to just ask a question in yourself, just, yeah, determining your heart condition, you know? Where is my heart at the moment? Am I putting God in the forefront? Am I putting God in the center? Or are there some things that are taking up my time, taking up my priority list, you know, that, you know, I don't always want them to be there. Maybe they've slipped there and I wasn't intentional about it, but in some ways I've overtaken God in my life. I encourage you as well, you know, you would have heard this before, but, you know, God is not just a Sunday thing. God is not just a Friday thing. God wants to be a part of you every single day, every single moment. And if he's not a part of you every moment, then you're missing out. You know, because he's got so much life and so much love and so much hope for you, such an incredible plan for you. And I mean, I know just about every single person in this room, and I know that God has a plan for you. And one of the things that, I mean, I really hate and gets on my nerves, but I believe that God also hates as well, is wasted potential. You know, God actually wants you to achieve some really cool things in your life. God wants you to be surrounded by people that love you, that build you up, but also people that you can build as well. God wants you to be a part of a kingdom movement, whether that be in small ways or big ways. God's got a different plan for each and every single one of us, because he's given us all different gifts, different personalities. He's put you in a situation that is very unique for you, very unique for your circumstances, very unique for your family. Again, my question is, what are you doing with your resources? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your energy? Is it being put towards things that have an eternal impact? Or is it being put towards things that are just going to wither away? You get to the end of your life and you say, well, I had a really cool fancy car and I had 250 Facebook likes, which is pretty good, but it means nothing. You know, when we love God and keep him the main thing, I believe that we'll naturally love others more. We'll go on to the next slide, thanks. We've been looking at Matthew 6, and now we're going to be looking at Matthew 10. 10 verse 37 says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This just takes it to that another level, isn't it? It's like, yeah, of course we should love God more than money. But then you look and see, hey, God says he actually wants us to love him more than our family. Say what? Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And the truth is that, you know, God loves your family more than you. God loves your partner or your parents or your kids or whatever may apply to you. God loves them more than you do. Did you know that? And the closer that you get to him, the closer that you get to the heart of God and just understanding more of his love, more of his love for your family, more of his love for you, you know, you'll actually have more love for them as well. You'll actually be able to share more love to those people around you because you're keeping God at the center. You know, God is love. And that's just something that's really encouraging to me. You know, the best way to actually love your family a lot of the time is to love God first. And when you love God first, you really can't go wrong. Got one more verse for us. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Just have a look at the screen, this verse, and read it over. You know, when we take up our cross, when we stand for Jesus, especially in a world that in a lot of ways resists the message of Christ, resists the gospel, it is not always easy. I tell you now, it's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies for you. But you know, if you believe in Jesus and you take a stand for Jesus, I promise you, God promises you, that's when life really gets real. That's when life gets exciting. It's when we find our purpose. It's when we say, you know, my life is not my own. My life belongs to Jesus. He has given me all of the resources. He has given me all the time. He's given me all the energy. He's given me the family that I have. He's given me the job. Every single good thing that I have, that I will have, that I have had, comes from God. You know, and in response to God's love, it's up to us, if we believe in Jesus, to take up our cross, give it all to him, and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, it's all yours. You know, I want to make sure that in my life, even though I'm still building and I'm still just working out a lot of things in my life, and I feel like I've got a long way to go before I could call myself, you know, anywhere near perfect, which none of us will be perfect. But, you know, God actually wants to make sure that you will gradually get closer and closer to the image of Jesus. And even though taking up your cross isn't easy, it's definitely worth it. Because that is when you'll make an eternal difference. That is when you'll store your treasures in heaven and not on earth. It's when you'll look back on your life and say, you know, all this time, all these things that I put into it, they didn't just wither away. They're actually used worthwhile. You know, and I made the analogy this morning, you know, if this whole room is eternity, then the time that we have on earth isn't even that. It's you wouldn't be able to see it. You know, why are we spending all of our time, all of our effort, all of our resources into this tiny little speck of dust when we could be worrying about the whole of eternity? And I want to encourage you with that. We're going to take up communion pretty soon, but I really just want to encourage you guys, you know, just assess your heart condition. Again, just ask yourself, you know, God, am I putting you first? Am I really putting you first in my life? Am I really putting the things in your kingdom first in my life? And no, that doesn't mean that you need to sell everything you own and live over in Africa and build a fallen orphanage or something. It means you can stay where you're at, you know, love people, minister in your job. It just means that you need to be close to God. Dive deep into him. And I can't answer the question, what has God called upon your life? What is God's will for your life? Only him and you can really have that conversation and answer that. You know, I can promise you that the closer you get to him, the more purpose you're going to find. The closer you get to him, the more you're going to know. The closer you get to him, the more eternal impact you will make. And that is what is worthwhile. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to come up and have communion. I'm going to break the bread, and I encourage you guys to come dip the bread in the juice, and we're just going to stand together and just really reflect on, you know, what Jesus has done for us on the cross, how God actually paid the ultimate price for you and I. He said, you know what, that person who's messed up, who's a sinful person, I love that person enough. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to give them hope. I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to give them, you know, incredible future and an eternal life in heaven. What are you going to do with that gift? What are you going to do with that opportunity? Let's reflect on that. I'll pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you that your son Jesus just changed everything when he died and rose again. We thank you that your love and your grace is so huge and that you are sovereign. We thank you that you have grace for us, even though we are broken, even though we mess up every day. You never fail to give us a second chance. We pray, Father, that you help us to just see things in your eyes tonight. Help us to see things from a kingdom perspective, God. Help us to make an eternal impact with our lives to glorify you, Father. We just want to be with you, God, and we want our lives to just be building your kingdom in every single thing that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.